Hi, this is Kashish. Welcome to a new episode of Business Odyssey.
Hello, we are Lakshmi and Laura, partners in the journey of building community of practice. Thank you for joining us, where we focus on exploring the human-centric approach while we consider all the variables that affect it, from the learning and development, performance, change process, leaderships and coaching, diversity and inclusion, and other key topics. Today, we are joined by Sharon Green. She is the founder of Chiara Consultancy, with more than 20 years of experience in the people of field. We have insightful conversations with her regarding how to bring in the human side to change process transformations. Happy learning.
Let's go to the interview now.
Welcome, Sharon, to this episode. It's a pleasure to have you here as a guest speaker.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here and connecting with you both across continents. It's great.
Yes, I think that's the beauty of knowing and networking with different colleagues and people around the world. I love that. We'll enjoy that. So, would you like to introduce a little, Sharon?
Yes.
What you do? I think you will be. You will do it best. That us.
Oh, thank you. So I'm Sharon Green. I'm based in the UK, based in London. I live just outside the city in London. I always say when people ask me what I do, I run my own business, and I have done for the last 15 years. Before that, I had what I call my my proper jobs. I still have proper jobs, but my permanent career ended 15 years ago when I started up my business. And my my consultancy and interim career began. And in short, I'm a people change champion for my clients. I help my clients maximize the power of their people, and my specific loves, I guess, and what I do are around people change with technology, focus often, and I'm particularly interested in how we communicate, engage, and involve our people in the experience, so employee experience, and how we involve them and engage them in change.
Okay, thank you for sharing that with us. So that brings to me two questions to start asking you. The first one will be if you can share with us your definition or your own definition or perspective of what is change project and program management. And maybe you can tell us the difference as well.
So I'm going to ask Laura, do you mean what's my definition of people change?
If you from your perspective, what is change management,
mm-hmm.
And what is program management?
Oh goodness me, I feel nervous. Laura, I feel very nervous. Because I am one of those people who loves learning and who has done much informal learning and also formal learning. And I never remember formal definitions. So when people ask me, I feel nerves immediately, because there are so many people who can quote formal definitions so well, and I'm very envious of that skill. I guess for me, if I think about change, if I think about project management and program management, particularly, then I guess I think of programs being the big picture. So they may involve a number of projects or work streams or functions in a organizational setting. So the program is the bigger picture, and the project is the, I guess, more, is smaller and more discreet. And that's how I'm a big believer in keeping things simple and understandable, so that even if you weren't in this profession, you would understand the differences. So it's not very fancy, my definition, but for me, program management can be a number of projects, and the change projects themselves are often the smaller pieces. Even if in themselves they're quite large pieces of work, they often sit within a bigger structure or a program.
So let me ask you this: when we are talking about it's a redundant word, but to clarify, when we are talking about a transformation process within a company and transformations around culture and the ways that things are done in that precise company, which one are practicing? Program or project management?
I would say over the 15 years that I've been working as a partner to my clients, and I've worked with a number of clients. I forget how many projects and programs I've been involved in over the years. With a range of different clients. I would say, as an external person looking in, I may see, they may say, we're running a program of change. And I might look in and start to work with them and join them and think, this is a series of projects, it's not a program. Or alternatively, and I may see it as transformational, but then alternatively, I might also, I've been to work with clients who say, we are doing transformational change within this business, and when I join, their perspective of transformation is different from my experience. So I think that sometimes it, how we define it is based on the context and the experience of the people leading and doing it. I have worked on what I would call large scale transformation change programs. And yeah, they're on a big scale, 12,000 people, changing the way that the company operates, their target operating model, for example. They're looking to save millions of pounds or dollars. All of the many different functions are involved. I'm a people person, so you might have the human resources function, the learning and talent function. You may have the IT and systems function, finance and so on and so on, property. And then I think this is transformation. And then I go to another client who says, oh, we're doing transformation, and it feels like it, in comparison to that, in my experience, looking at it through my lens, it looks like a project approach rather than a program.
So
can we have a follow-up question on that? If that's okay, Laura and
yes,
Sharon.
Yes, please.
Exciting.
Sure. Okay. So, with such a huge experience that you bring to the table, Sharon, definitely you would have seen that everybody have their own perspectives around what transformation is, program management, change management, project management, and all that. And when you interact with them and you see that, okay, the perspective that I as an external consultant have is not what this client is saying. The client is meaning totally, altogether a different piece he's bringing in. So how do you go about, what are those next steps that you might have gone ahead and taken in your earlier, client, experiences and all? Like, how do you help them understand? In fact, in short, if I may say, how do you bring everybody, all those stakeholders onto one level of understanding, saying that this is what it is? I hope there is a clarity now. And are you all okay if we go on like this? So like, how do you go about, what are your usual next steps to help them bring on that same level of understanding of what transformation or what change of program or project management is?
I think that's a fantastic question, Laxmi. I think it's hard because it depends on, because I think I approach every client with a kind of respect that they are the experts within their business. I often work on projects that might be there for 3 months, or probably more likely for 6 or 12 months, or maybe a little bit longer. I will never have the depth of experience and understanding that they have about their business and how it works. My role is to help them and co-create with them and work with them on part of the journey that they're taking. So at the start, for me, the importance is about listening, really listening to what they're looking for, meeting as many people within the area that I'm working in specifically, but also broader, really looking at their company context and what they're trying to achieve. So what they say and what they sometimes don't say. And almost, I often think it's like trying to pull a jigsaw puzzle together. And sometimes when you're in the jigsaw puzzle, it's hard to see all of the pieces. So once I've built trust and good relationships so that the client understands that I'm really there for them, I'm interested in what they want to achieve long term, even after I've gone, then I often, after, if I was being fancy, I might say after a discovery phase of finding out where they're coming from, I'd then probably reflect back to them. This is what I'm seeing, hearing, thinking, feeling, observing. And then I think there is an opportunity to say, I'm seeing it like a program, or this is how I'm seeing it. How does this sound to you, to check? And then I might bring in other experiences from other clients. But respectfully, I think it's hard. You don't want the client to feel you're coming in like a cookie cutter, you know, that you're going to go, this worked here, it will work here. Because every program or project is unique. So I think it's getting a balance, but there is an opportunity as an external person looking in to sensitively replay that back and help the client to question or clarify what they're actually looking to do. Does that answer the question?
Yes, Sharon. Mm-hmm. You talk through some very important elements, if we may say so. And Laura would agree on that, you know, like that active listening part, and then, you know, meeting with people, you know, understanding, you know, what they're saying, what they're not saying. That what they're not saying is so very important. Mm-hmm. And thank you for sharing that. And even that cookie cutter approach we can't take. So yes, in short, thank you so much, Sharon. You did answer. Yeah.
So I told you before that two words resonated, or maybe a few words resonated with me. One is learning, and the other is a people person. Okay, I will add a third one, curiosity.
Mm.
So if we connect these three words with a human-centric approach, the human side. How we bring in the human-centric approach or the human side of change when practicing a change or a transformation process.
Obviously, I'm a people person. That's my profession. So I'm obviously biased. I'm going to say that it's critical. It's critical to have a human-centered approach for change and transformation. We all know the research and statistics of the high failure rate of change and transformation programs. I think even as someone who is involved and loves technology, I don't see the human-centric side subsiding or going away. I really see a need for humans to be front and center of change, even when the change might be tech-enabled. I'm always kind of banging your drum saying technology is the enabler. You know, we are the humans are the ones coding it, developing it, evolving it, using it. For me, it's critical. And to come back to your things, or your three words, your curiosity, learning, and people. I think as change people, we should, you know, we should have curiosity at our core. As a coach, when I did my coach training, they told me never to ask the question why, right? Why is it bad? And on one level I appreciate and I understand that, but the why question's also so important. Like, even if we rephrase it, what are we doing? You know, what's making us do things this way? Tell me more about what's happening here. Being curious uncovers so much from people within the organization, about the organization we're working with. So curiosity is just critical for me. And curiosity, I think, feeds learning, because we realize even though we are all skilled people and working with other skilled and knowledgeable people, that there's always more to learn and uncover. And I think that is so liberating, to know that we don't know everything. I find quite empowering. And I think the people, so much of change is about engaging and involving, or sometimes having to deal with tricky people, that I don't think we can do it without them. But obviously, like I said, I'm biased. I would say that. I can't get away from that. They fascinate me. They're deeply fascinating and always unpredictable and amazing, I think. Even when they can be quite hard to deal with or put up barriers, I still find people a source of inspiration and challenge, really, which leads to so much learning.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the three words resonate with me a lot. I am very curious as well. I like to know what really happened underneath, not just what I'm seeing. So I completely understand that. And that brings me with another question. What happens when curiosity comes from the other side? If we are talking in a change scenario, okay, curiosity is from your side, but what happens when it's in the other side? How do you manage that?
I take curiosity from the other side as engagement, as a sign of engagement and interest. I probably wouldn't see it as sides as well. I think as an external person, you're never completely inside that. But I think it's important for the team to know that you're with them, and you're part of the journey. It might be a shorter part of the journey. I may only be on the train, if we think about it, you know, not for the whole journey, but for a number of, I don't know, trips through various stations, if you imagine it like that. So I think sometimes where it's hard is when people have quite strong views about external consultants, or where they've had difficult experiences, or they feel let down by an experience before. So sometimes the questions, the curiosity can feel quite bruising to hear. And I think my job is to appreciate that it's coming for a reason. And it's telling me something, even if I feel quite bruised by the way it comes. I'm a really big believer in that saying, no such thing as failure, only feedback. So I do try and take it in the spirit of what's underneath, even if the curiosity feels, and it can feel quite like brutally honest at times. But I see that as a sign that they probably trust me, that they wouldn't maybe say that if they didn't feel comfortable enough to say it, maybe. That's how I interpret it anyway.
Okay. So you have shared with us key points around how do you work with your clients and the companies and within the project. So can you share with us like two experiences that you already have? One that you implemented a project or a program, project management, I'm sorry about that. I'm nervous right now. How do you feel in that particular project? What have you learned from it? And how did that experience go? And in the other side, if you can provide to the audience an example of any organization that has had to implement change because they was forced to do it and not because they wanted to do it.
So, Laura, I think the first question was around sharing with the audience around a change and how it worked. And maybe some learnings from that, perhaps. So I had a few examples, but I'll pick. It's difficult. I will pick one, and then one where you were saying around the implementing had to. I will choose the other. I'll use the other for that one. So I've worked with one client over a number of years on different projects at different times and with different parts of the organization. The first time I worked with them, they just joined a bigger, so they'd moved from a bigger parent organization to a new parent organization, and we're in a different, so they were a small business that was sold to a larger business. And when I first joined them, I was at the start, they'd just been bought. So that was kind of interesting, and they wanted to change their approach to how they developed their people. They'd had a lot of development in the past with their previous company, and they had a very good reputation, and they were well known in the marketplace, and they had lots of positive things going for them, but they and they'd also had the big change. They wanted to involve and engage their people more, develop them more, I guess, think of it like they wanted to, they were worried that other people may come and poach, you know, attract their people, seduce them and say, come and join us, because they had such a good reputation. And that the change may result in people leaving. So they wanted to do a number of different projects. They also wanted to work out how they could be part of this bigger company, but also be unique and individual themselves. And so I helped. So that was a really interesting project, because I started a number of initiatives in the 10 months that I was there. And then when I went back to them 6 or 7 years later, I was aware that they were at a different stage in their journey. They doubled in size. They'd expanded from Europe to be global. They had a bigger team. You could really actually see the change in the business, but also some of the initiatives and projects that I had started and developed for them were still there in a different format, in a different way, but you could see that there had been that the change that took quite a bit of time to deliver when I first started was embedded in the organization, and people didn't actually know who had developed those things. They were just there, part of the culture, which was really, really interesting. And then you know the organization, but you're also having to relearn where they are, and the people have changed. It was just a very fascinating experience. And I've since done 2 projects for them. One was based in the technology team and one was based in the people team. And each time I have an opportunity to add to their work, but you can see that the chain has moved, and it's a different type of chain. It's just very interesting to join them for different parts of the journey. And then if I think about where I've been with organisations that had to implement change, the biggest change and transformation program and project that I ran was for a business that needed to change quite drastically. They had a complex environment. They'd acquired lots of businesses. They hadn't integrated them. They hadn't brought them together. And the market that they were working in was contracting rather than expanding. So they really had to bring the businesses together and change them because they needed to save a lot of money in order to survive. And they were doing a big program with multiple work streams across multiple functions at the same time. And it was the biggest and most complex project that I've worked on, because often in the previous example, I was able to be down in the teams. It was a smaller business. You could think strategically and operationally, whereas on the second big change and transformation, I was working at such a, there were so many projects within my work stream that you really had to take a much more strategic view in order to achieve the end goal. And the time scales were so much quicker because of the commercial imperative. You know, we needed to save that money. We needed to hit certain deadlines. You know, a number of people were leaving as part of that process. And they were involved in the project, but also not going to be there for the long term. It was a very difficult project to be involved in. Mm-hmm. I feel I've talked too much, Laura, so I'm going to stop.
No, I didn't want to interrupt you with other questions that come to my mind right now. I just was listening to you. So in both projects are different. So this is a tricky question, maybe. Mm-hmm. How do we measure change?
I thought this was a tricky question. You say, Laura, what were you going to say?
It's really hard. From my side, from my short experience, it's hard to tell. How do we measure change? Okay, you know, at the end of the line, okay, you see something. But how do you see? For me, it's really hard to tell. You can see, but yes.
I think that there are, I do think it's a very hard question. And I think that in the people profession, there is a lot of professional discussion around how we evaluate, how do we measure our impact, the results of the things that we do. Because when they involve humans, we're amazing, imperfect, messy, unpredictable, capable of great things. And, you know, so, I think measurement's important. We shouldn't, as when it involves people, we shouldn't shy away from the difficult questions. How are we going to measure our impact? How are we going to measure that we have made a change? We need to strive for data. I think it helps if we spend time at the beginning to really work out what's our purpose for doing this, what are we trying to do, what do we imagine, even if it's a hypothesis, will be the end result of this change or changes, and how might we measure that those changes have happened. So I think the planning and preparation is key. And I also think there's that famous saying, right, that what gets measured gets done, which every time I hear it, I kind of groan a little. Because I think that we need to think about what we mean by measurement. And often, so if I was on an agile tech transformation, bringing the people side to that. And I'm suspicious when people try to create data and percentages of, you know, kind of benefits realizations and, you know, kind of change metrics when you can't produce hard data. You might need to produce, you need to think more broadly about the data points, both hard measurable data and qualitative data, and see them as a whole and not prioritize, you know, hard stats over qualitative feedback of people's perceptions of change, is my kind of view. There's a professor in the UK who I follow and have heard speak. He's a professor, Rob Brinner, and he talks about evidence-based practice and trying to think about the data in a wider sense. And that speaks to me personally.
Okay, that's so at this moment, we are coming to the end of this episode, and you already share amazing, I will say it, I don't want to use that word, but amazing histories or maybe experience about you as a consultant. So if you have to share with us, if you want to share with us, what are your key takeaways when we are talking about change, program, and project management, and considering the human side of it? What they will be?
If I was to say to people listening what I think the key takeaways are for them from a people side, is that? I think the key things that I would encourage people listening to think and reflect on would be keep learning, learn and continue to learn about the human psychology. So if you're not a people a professional like myself, then, and even if you are, you know, continue to learn about the human side, the human psychology, because the people we work with have a huge importance in the change that we're trying to co-create. So I think learn and continue to learn would be one of my things to take away, and engage, involve, and communicate with those people. So at the start, I said I was a people tech, you know, a people change, tech and kind of comms engagement person. I've learned such a lot from working with specialists who practice communication and marketing and engagement, and I brought some of their skills. I'm an amateur, but I've brought some of their skills into my practice. So learn from the people around you, like particularly around, you know, and other functions that can help. They can help our practice. And communication often on change programs is seen as an afterthought, or communicated when we're off track or missing a deadline. When having it front and center and part of the plan up front, I think can really serve us all well. And then the final thing is, and this is what I say to myself when I'm hearing quite direct feedback, is feedback is a gift. And even the hard stuff that I hear, that I might say is change, reticence or resistance, I've learned to be curious about that. It tells me something about the change. It might tell me something about myself. So yeah, learn, continue to learn about people, engage and communicate, and take feedback as a gift. I think those would be my three things.
Okay, thank you for sharing that, Sharon. I believe that I always have kind of reflections when doing an episode. So those words that resonated with me previously, those are still there. And what's most important is that she, I will say, that's a tricky word, but congruence, not coherence, congruence, that is related with transparency. So that will be my reflections based on your share experience. So I'm really thankful and grateful for you, for your time, and to be here with us. So those are my words to you, Sharon. It's a pleasure and it's a privilege to have you here. I will say that. Lakshmi or Sharon?
No, I'm happy. Lakshmi is going to say something. I just want to say thank you for the opportunity. I've enjoyed it. Thank you. And Lakshmi.
Yeah, thank you, Sharon. I you know, completely resonate with Laura. You have, there are so many key terms, right? Key words, which really have a very, you know, there is a weightage, there is a lot of importance. And I just love the last piece that you said, right? Learn, continue to learn, and feedback is a gift. In fact, I've gone ahead and made a note at my end so that, you know, I take that as an inspiration, you know, and remind myself. But I believe you have really passed on a plethora of great knowledge, experience to the audience. And thank you so very much, Sharon. Thank you. Yeah.
Yes. So my last question for you, Sharon. Where can people find you or reach out to you?
Oh, well, they can find me on, I'm on LinkedIn. So I'm, I think my, so I'm Sharon Green. That's quite a common name. so I'm Sharon Green. My company is Kiara Consulting, consultancy. Kiara is spelled C H-I-A-R-A. It's an Italian word for clear, and my and I should have really thought about it before I name my company, because I have to spell it every time because it's difficult to spell. So on LinkedIn, I'm Sharon Green at Chiara Consultancy. On Twitter, I'm Sharon G. Chiara, and on Instagram, where I post pictures from my consultancy life, I'm also Sharon G. Chiara. That just gives people an insight into a bit of fun and photography. But I'm across those social platforms, and I love connecting with people. And it's been such a fantastic opportunity to connect with you, Laura, and you, Laxmi. Yes. And I'm so grateful for the opportunity. So thank you.
Thank you to you, Sharon. Yeah. I'm sorry, Laxmi, I didn't want to.
No, we both together said thank you. So yeah, that's about it. Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you, Sharon. Thank you, Laxmi. It has been a pleasure. We enjoy this, and until the next time.
Thanks to everyone who makes these podcasts possible. In particular, thanks to the guest speakers and to you who are on the other side listening. If you liked it and were able to learn something new today, we invite you to share it with your entire network. We also invite you to subscribe to our different channels to follow our latest news. If you are interested in being part of these series, you can apply by clicking on the link that is in the general presentation of the podcast. Until next time.
Special thanks to the boys, Kashis Wadbani.